Chapter 27. It was during one of Siegfried's efficiency drives that Colonel Merrick's cow picked up a wire. The Colonel was a personal friend, which made things even more uncomfortable. Everybody suffered when Siegfried had these spells. They usually came on after he'd been reading a technical work or when he had seen a film of some new technical procedure. He would rampage around, calling on the cowering household to stir themselves and be better men. He would be obsessed for a time with the craving for perfection.
"We must put on a better show of these operations on the farms. It just isn't good enough to fish out a few old instruments from a bag and start hacking at the animal. We must have cleanliness, asepsis if possible, and an orderly technique."
So he was jubilant when he diagnosed traumatic reticulitis, a foreign body in the second stomach, in the colonel's cow.
"We'll really show old Hubert something. We'll give him a picture of veterinary surgery he'll never forget."
Tristan and I were pressed into service as assistants, and our arrival at the farm was really impressive. Siegfried led the procession, looking unusually smart in a brand new tweed jacket of which he was very proud. He was a debonair figure as he shook hands with his friend. The colonel was jovial.
"Here you're going to operate on my cow. Take out a wire, eh? Ah, like to watch you do it if that's all right with you."
"By all means, Hubert, please do. You'll find it very interesting." In the byre, Tristan and I had to bustle about. We arranged tables alongside the cow, and on these we placed new metal trays with rows of shining, sterilized instruments. Scalpels, directors, probes, artery forceps, hypodermic syringes, suture needles, gutta silk in glass phials, rolls of cotton wool, and various bottles of spirit and other antiseptics. Siegfried fussed around, happy as a schoolboy. He had clever hands, and as a surgeon, he was worth watching. I could read his mind without much trouble. This, he was thinking, was going to be good. When all was to his liking, he took off his jacket and donned a brilliantly white smock. He handed the jacket to Tristan, and almost instantly gave a roar of anger.
"Hey, don't just throw it down on that meal bin! Give it to me! I'll find a safe place for it."
He dusted the new garment down tenderly and hung it on a nail on the wall. Meanwhile, I had shaved and disinfected the operation site on the flank, and everything was ready for the local anaesthetic. Siegfried took the syringe and quickly infiltrated the area.
"This is where we go inside, Hugh, but I hope you aren't squeamish."
The colonel beamed.
"I've seen blood before. You didn't worry, I shan't faint."
With a bold sweep of the scalpel, Siegfried incised the skin, then the muscles, and finally, with delicate care, the glistening peritoneum. The smooth wall of the rumen, the large first stomach, lay exposed. Siegfried reached for a fresh scalpel and looked for the best place to cut in. But as he poised his knife, the wall of the rumen suddenly bulged out through the skin incision. "Unusual," he muttered. "Probably a bit of ruminal gas." Unflurried, he gently thrust back the protrusion and prepared again to make his cut. But as he withdrew his hand, the rumen welled out after it, a pinkish mass bigger than a football. Siegfried pushed it back again, and it shot out again immediately, ballooning to a startling size. This time he took two hands to the job, pushing and pressing till he forced the thing once more out of sight. He stood for a moment with his hands inside the cow, breathing heavily. Two beads of sweat trickled down his forehead. Carefully, he withdrew his hands. Nothing happened. It must have settled down. He was reaching back for his knife, when, like a live thing, the rumen again came leaping and surging out. It seemed almost as though the entire organ had escaped through the incision, a slippery, gleaming mass rising and swelling till it was level with his eyes.